Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Monday morning, Monday, November the 27th, 2023. 19 minutes past the hour, 29 degrees, and mostly cloudy skies here in the Marion area, and we are coming off the big Thanksgiving Day weekend. What fun we have had over the last few days. You know, this was one of the busiest weekends that I can ever remember. A lot of people were off work, and I was off certain jobs Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but it just seemed like it never stopped. It really started on Wednesday. Wednesday morning, I was at the station with Bob Welsh and Mayor Jack Kellogg and Marshall Cunningham and Sean Kraft and Matt Morgan. And then Wednesday night, we went back to the station and we decorated for the holidays. And then we went to downtown Marion and we got something to eat. And then Thursday was Thanksgiving and I had Thanksgiving at my house. So I had to make the turkey and the rolls and the stuffing and everything. Then we had Thanksgiving dinner at my house. And then I decorated at my house with help from several people. And then turned around and went right back to the station on Friday morning. And Friday morning we had Buckeye Guy on and we had George Kasotis and Sean and Pastor Whitaker and Pastor Craig and Bob Welsh and Matt. And then Friday night I was back at the station with Carrington and Matt getting ready for the festivities on Saturday. And Saturday I was in downtown Marion with the Christmas parade and the lighting of the Christmas tree. And then yesterday I was over at the grocery store. So I'm telling you, the weekend was just a blur. I think I'm going to have to go back to work today just to get a break from the last few days. It was nonstop, but it was a lot of fun. And I do want to make mention that I had not been to the Christmas parade downtown, and I had never been to the tree lighting in Founders Park in downtown Marion until this year. I was so impressed by this Christmas truck parade. I'm telling you, I do not impress that easy when it comes to a parade. Matter of fact, I couldn't tell you the last time I was at a parade. I was at the Bratwurst Parade this year, but to be honest, it was just because we were broadcasting there, and I don't know that I was paying all that much attention to it. But this parade on Saturday night, it was cold. It was about 37 degrees, but boy, did we have a good time. Downtown Marion was decorated beautifully, and the people who put these trucks and floats, and there were floats, in this parade were fantastic. People had lighted trees in the beds of their truck. Their trucks were covered in lights. There was a Polar Express that was being pulled downtown. People had old-fashioned pickup trucks like you would have seen from the 1920s and 1930s. Santa Claus was in the parade in a sleigh. It was just an amazing, amazing parade. And there were other things going on. I believe CRT Mechanical was passing out Cheryl's cookies. Some groups were passing out candy to the kids along the streets. It was just one of the most magnificent parades that I have seen in a long time, and timed exactly right. About an hour was that parade. And then we went over to the tree lighting. And Mayor Jack Kellogg was there, and Carrington, and Matt, and Sean. And we got up, and the pavilion looked great over in Founders Park. They had the big LED screen and the big tree in the center of Founders Park, which was not lit at the time. And they had all kinds of other decorations there. And when we went over there to light the tree, there probably were 3,000-plus people surrounding Founders Park. I remember I was standing on the stage, And I was looking there at Founders Park on the corner of Church and Main, and I could not see anything on Main or Church Street because there were people, just rows and rows and rows of people lined up to watch the tree lighting. It was fantastic. And it came off perfectly. We had great sound, which is a big part of something like that. I believe the people from Day Spring Church ran the sound, so my hats off to those people. And it was great. We read "Twas the Night Before Christmas," we sang, and then Mayor Jack Kellogg, nobody better to do this, lit the tree, and as soon as he said, "Light the tree," the big tree was lit, and it could not have said holidays more. Santa Claus was there, the Grinch was there, elves were there. It was just a magical night in downtown Marion, and I tip my cap to all those people in downtown Marion who did a fantastic job with that event. And we did not do a whole lot. And we got our Christmas parade on the air. I don't know how many of you were able to listen to it on a Saturday night at 6 o'clock, but we did get it up on the air fine. We were broadcasting from the gazebo at the courthouse. It was cold, but it was fun. I don't think people were really all that worried with the cold because we were having so much fun. So I just wanted to say my Cubs cap is off to the people in downtown Marion for the work they did on Saturday night. It was fun and could not have been with better people. Carrington, Matt, Sean, and Mayor Kellogg all showed up to have a good time, and it was just great. Downtown Marion is really a nice place to be for the holidays, and if you haven't been downtown, go down there at night. And, you know, it gets dark very early now, 5:30, 6 o'clock. So go down there at night. Look at the tree in Founders Park. Look at all the other decorations they have down there. Look at the things they have up and down the streets, Main Street, Center Street, Church Street, all the street lights are decorated beautifully with green and white lights, and so many businesses down there have decorated their windows. It's really, really something. So again, my Cubs cap is tipped to the people in downtown Marion. So appreciative they asked us to do that, and we'll be glad to do anything they ask us to do at this particular point because it was a lot of fun. All right. What else do we have going on? Well, Christmas in Caledonia is coming up on Saturday, December the 9th. That'll be at 6:15 p.m. We'll be doing something very similar. Looking forward to that event. The person who puts on Christmas in Caledonia was actually at the Marion tree lighting. I think she liked what we did, so I think we're all ready to go for Christmas in Caledonia in under 2 weeks on December the 9th. Now, we've also got the fruitcake toss. Now, the fruitcake toss, I'll tell you, this thing is picking up some steam. Now, here's where we are on the fruitcake toss at this point. Fruitcake toss will take place on Thursday night, December 14th at 7 p.m., 685 Delaware Avenue. Now, here are the people in the fruitcake toss so far. We've got Ted Jolliffe, Adam, Dr. Davis, Kerr Murray, Andy Appafeller, Sarah, Chip, Mr. Neal, Carrington, Matt, myself, Judy Summers, Glenn Coble, Lee, Glenn Jerome, Tyler Wilson, Bill Collins, Mary Ellen Withrow, Jack Kellogg, Fruitcake Lily, 10-year-old Fruitcake Lily, Pastor Craig, Ted Williams, Sheila Evans, Linda Sims, Linda's husband Ed, who won the fruitcake toss last year, Caleb Rice, Bob Welsh, Mrs. Welsh, George Kasotis, Joanne Kasotis, Sheriff Bales, and a representative from the Marion Fire Department. Now, if you would like to enter somebody, give me a buzz, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. I think we're up to 32 entrants now. And there's also going to be some other things going on Fruitcake Night. Matt's mother is preparing Buckeyes for everybody who will be there, and it's very interesting because they're going to be chestnuts on that night. free chestnuts. But remember, they're Buckeyes. If you don't like chestnuts, they are actually Buckeyes, which we will have on Fruitcake Night. We are also going to have the upper crust plaque presentation to Mayor Jack Kellogg. That will happen that night. So there are other things going on that night. And there'll be music from our elves. We're going to have a little bit of a sing-along. I think a couple songs from Carrington and Matt. We'll probably do Jingle Bells, and we wish you a Merry Christmas. So the Fruitcake Toss has taken on a life of its own. Now, would you like to nominate anybody to be in the Fruitcake Toss? Because, now I'm asking this because there was some talk. Now, I'll tell you, this is how big the Fruitcake Toss has become. On Saturday, I was narrating the parade. And Judge Edwards was in the parade. And I had said that I think Judge Edwards was nominated, but I don't think we've heard back from Judge Edwards yet. And Judge Edwards was listening to the broadcast, and he said, Scott, I heard that I was nominated for the Fruitcake Toss, but you hadn't heard back from me. Tell me when it is and where it is. I want to do the Fruitcake Toss. So I believe Judge Edwards is in. I have to double check on that. But whoever does nominated Judge Edwards, I would check back in with him this morning because I think he definitely wants to be in this event. Now, I think we're still waiting to hear back from Mayor Schertzer, and I think we're waiting to hear back from some city council people at this point, but I believe that's it. So does anybody have any nominations or any updates on any of our nominations? Give us a buzz, 740-751-4038. Now, there are some people who have not been nominated who were in last year's event. Abby has not been nominated. Abby has not been nominated this year. Buckeye Guy has not been nominated this year. But as I look at both lists, I think those are the only two people who have not been nominated this year. Well, maybe Ray Grogan. I think Ray Grogan got nominated last year as well. But he's not on the list this year as well, or either at this point. So, if you want to nominate somebody, give us a buzz, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Or anybody else in your mind who you think would be a good nomination for the big Fruitcake Toss coming up on December the 14th. I think most people from the station have been nominated at this point, as near as I can tell. It's going to be a big event. We're throwing the old Claxton Fruitcake on December the 14th. And everybody's looking forward to that. We're looking forward to that. And I think we're in a much better location this year to do it. By no mistake of anybody else's. Last year was just a little difficult. By the way of doing it in a... You know, last year we moved it because of a parking issue. And just did not realize there was not enough lighting where we were. Well, where we are now, we know there'll be lighting. And also, the Fruitcake Toss, if you can't make it down there on December 14th at 7 p.m., will be broadcast that night on the air at 9 p.m. So if you're at the Fruitcake Toss and would like to hear it after it happens, you can still catch it at 9 p.m. that night. And if you can't make it to the Fruitcake Toss, you can always tune it in at 9 p.m. that night. So a lot of ways to pay attention to the big Fruitcake Toss here at WGH Talk. And it's just tremendous. So if you want to nominate somebody or have anything to say in regard to the Fruitcake Toss, give me a buzz, 740-751-4038. Okay. Well, the Buckeye, we had a lot of talk on Friday about the Ohio State Buckeyes and what was going to happen on Saturday. The Ohio State Buckeyes, again, were defeated by the Michigan Wolverines 30-24, making it the third loss in a row for the Ohio State Buckeyes against the Michigan Wolverines. And the Ohio State Buckeyes never led this game, which was very interesting on a lot of points. I don't know what happened. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? We talked an awful lot about this on Friday. Were the Buckeyes going to be able to pull this out? And clearly they weren't. There was a lot of talk going into this game because of the whole sign-stealing scandal, which apparently didn't amount to a whole lot when it came to the game itself. Does anybody have any thoughts on what happened with Ohio State and Michigan on Saturday? Third loss in a row for the Ohio State Buckeyes. And, you know, I am an Ohio State graduate. I have nothing against Ohio State, but I just felt that the accusatory nature that was going along toward the Michigan Wolverines and their coach not being able to be on the sidelines was going to cause a lot of bad feeling in Michigan and possibly propel them to a win. And it looks as if it did propel them to a win. So I really don't know. And I'm not really sure at this point how Ohio State can combat this, because it has been a long time since Ohio State lost three to Michigan. Does anybody know how long it's been? It's had to have been well over 20 years since something like that happened. But it's not good for Ohio State at this point. They have great, you know, they were undefeated going into that game, and maybe that makes it a little more hard to swallow. Maybe that makes the pill a little more hard to swallow, is they were going into that game undefeated, and of course you want to beat Michigan. That's always been the game. It's the rivalry game. It's been going on for years and years and years, and maybe that's why they wanted. I don't know what's going on there, I guess is the best way to put it. I don't know what has happened, but, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Does anybody have any thoughts on the Ohio State-Michigan game from Saturday? I was trying to look here to see when the last time Ohio State had lost three in a row. And I'm trying to get the history on this. And I think it's been quite a while. Here's the records. Well, this goes back quite a ways. I don't know if we need to go back that far. But the last time that Ohio State has lost three in a row to Michigan was in the 90s, 95, 96, and 97. They lost three in a row to Michigan. So it's been, what would that be? Well over 30 years since they've lost three in a row to Michigan. So I don't know what you say. I really don't know what you say. What is that, 30... What would we go back here? You know, doing math in my head on a Monday morning. That's 10, 20, 20, 25 years, 26 years since they've lost three in a row to Michigan, 97. You know, what does this mean for Ryan Day is really what this is all about. Do you think he can remain the coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes losing three in a row? A lot of people feel he won't, because that's the game they want him to win. Does anybody have any thoughts on this game? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. You know what's kind of interesting about this game? Ohio State did close the gap. In 2021, it was 42-27. In 2022, it was 45-23. But this year, 30-24, a little closer, but not enough to pull it out on Saturday. You know what? I think I know somebody who might know something about this game. We might take a quick little break here. Let me see if we can pull out here for a second, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about the Ohio State game. Right after this.
1-800-222-1222. 1-800-222-1222. If you think it might be poison, then the first thing you should do is call 1-800-222-1222. Poison can be anything you're not supposed to take. antifreeze, pesticide, the wrong drug by mistake. If you breathed a nasty chemical, been bitten by a snake, call the Poison Control Center hotline. We're here for you night or day.
For a poison or drug emergency at home or at work, just call the Poison Control Center hotline. We're here 24-7 with the expert help you need. Free and confidential. Even if you think it's a false alarm, call
1-800-222-1222. 1-800-222-1222. If you think it might be poison and you don't know what to do, call 1-800-222-1222.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
All right, we're back here on a Monday morning. You know what? If I could find the phone number I was looking for, we might be in better shape here. But again, if anybody has any thoughts on the big Ohio State game this past Saturday, give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. If you'd like to enter anybody else in the fruitcake toss, you can do that as well. See, now there's the number. I spent that entire time looking for the correct number, and now I think I've found it. All right. You know, if anything was ever easy, it'd make life so much better, especially here on live radio this morning. Okay, let's see if we can round anything up here momentarily. The sound of ringing on the air, nothing like it. All right, 42 minutes past the hour here. Now, don't forget to be entering your favorite person in the fruitcake toss. That is, that's going to be an important thing coming up on December the 14th. 7 p.m., 685 Delaware Avenue here in Marion. You know, it's kind of taken on a whole life of its own. Oh, and by the way, I also forgot, this year we will also have a plaque for the winner of the fruitcake toss and a family four-pack of tickets to the Columbus Zoo Lights. So there's that going on as well this year. In regard to the big fruitcake toss on December 14th. Now, again, does anybody have any entrance for the fruitcake toss? Did anybody else go downtown for the big Christmas parade? or the big tree lighting ceremony. I enjoyed that a whole lot. I enjoyed the whole weekend, though. I had a great time on Thanksgiving. There was no problem on Thanksgiving. Spent it with exactly the right people. Had a lot of fun. Fun conversation. Just a good, good day. Everything was good this past weekend. Busy, but good. And I got even more bread pudding on Friday when Bob Welsh brought in the pizza bread pudding on Friday, which had the Lazarus Chintz bourbon sauce with it, which went over very well. So we were all very happy with that. Just a good, good day. Lot of fun. I don't think it gets any better than that. All right, I tell you what I'm going to do. I am going to take one more step out here, try to get a hold of this person, see if we can get him on the line, and then we will come back right after this. Hopefully, this will only take about a minute or two, and we can come back and have our guest to discuss the Ohio State-Michigan game.
We all make choices. When it comes to alcohol, kids make choices whether to drink or not.
Bye, Dad.
Bye-bye.
Remember, I'm going to Alex's party tonight and sleeping over.
Hey, Em, have a seat for a second. Remind me about that party again.
And adults make choices whether to talk about it. That's true of parents and every other trusted adult in a kid's life. Kids want to know our expectations when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. They want guidance
and honest answers to their questions. And it makes a difference when the message is consistent and part of everyday conversations. So talk with your kids.
Hey, Siri,
and help lead them on a positive path. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
All right, and we are back here on a Monday morning. Monday, November 27th, 2023, 46 minutes past the hour. And as many of you know, the game of games in college sports happened this past Saturday. Michigan versus Ohio State, and there was a lot going into this game. A lot of talk about the sign-stealing scandal. Coach Jim Harbaugh was not allowed on the sidelines or in the stadium. And it was taking place at a time in which Ohio State had lost two games to Michigan, one in Ann Arbor, one in Columbus. And we talked to everybody last week, and so many people said Ohio State had to win this game. This was a must-win game. One of the people we spoke to is one of our favorite people at this station, OSU superfan Buckeye Guy, and of course he was in Ann Arbor. We spoke to him as he was heading there on Friday morning. He said this was must-win, and unfortunately for all the Ohio State fans on Saturday, Michigan did win the game 30-24, and I believe never lost the lead through the entire game. Joining us this morning to tell us what went on and what the atmosphere was like in Ann Arbor, our good pal, super fan, Buckeye Guy. Buckeye Guy, how you doing?
Scott Spears, I'm telling you, 72 hours removed from being in the biggest crowd, 110,000, that particular day, it was scarlet and gray there in Speckle, but there was certainly maize and blue all over the place.
You know, Buckeye Guy, as I say, we spoke on Friday, and we had spoken the previous week about Ohio State had lost twice. We didn't want the turkey to come up. We didn't want three losses in a row. The last time Ohio State had lost three times to Michigan was more than 25 years ago, 1997, 95, 96, and 97. And you said it was must win. People in the studio were saying it was must win. Analysts on television were saying it was must win. And they didn't win. What happened?
It certainly wasn't the ideal outcome. But I will say this. Talk about an atmosphere. like I previously mentioned, 110,000 people. Another 8,000 looked like to me, to 10,000 outside of the stadium that couldn't get tickets to get in. It was crazy. It was there for all to see. And the Wolverines came and did what they needed to do to win the greatest football rivalry in all of college sports.
What did they do? They led the game the entire time. It almost seemed as if they were controlling the game. They just stayed ahead through the entire game. What in your opinion, did they do?
Their run game, their offensive line, it was unbelievable. Just to be totally honest, to be right there with a bird's eye view. And, man, that was a game. We had a chance to win that game, Scott, at the end. We certainly did. We were only down 4 points. If we score a TD in the final minute, oh, man, we leave out of there like you wouldn't believe. Got down. We threw an interception. Well, we end up throwing two. Let's go back to the beginning of the game. We held them. They held us to three and out immediately. We held them to three and out. Then we got the ball back and threw an early interception, which led to a Wolverine touchdown. At that point, we were playing catch-up, and our team is not built for catch-up football.
You know, one of the things that came out of the game on Saturday was Ohio State legend Maurice Claret, because he clearly was a Ryan Day supporter. And early in the day, November 25th, he tweeted or X'd out, whatever they call it now.
Yep.
And this is what he said early in the day. Now, this is before the game was really rolling. He said, mm-hmm. Ryan Day going to get the victory today. I think him, the team, and coaches tired of hearing about it. Got to get the monkey off his back. And when the game was over, I think this shocked a lot of people because he's been a supporter of Ryan Day. Maurice Claret, after the game was over, same Saturday, November 25th, 2023, said, Ryan Day, love you, bro, but got to go. This is why you're paid millions. Can't get paid 9 M's and lose three straight. What do you make of those comments by Maurice Claret, Buckeye guy?
Not just the national championship running quarterback, I'm sorry, running back of the Ohio State University. Not just him, but the entire roller coaster of emotion flowed through all of Buckeye Nation. Everybody just doesn't have an X account with 13 million followers. Everybody felt that way. Everybody felt some kind of way. When we were winning, not winning, but at least scoring touchdowns, we made a field goal, but their crafty coach called a timeout. We had to kick it again, and we missed the same field goal. So there were ebbs and flows in the game. I think that's what Mr. Maurice Claret was talking about, because everyone that I was come in contact with at the Big House felt the same way.
You know, Buckeye guy, as I said, we talked on Friday, and you said this was a must-win. No question about it. It was a must-win after two losses, the sign-stealing scandal. They had to win, and of course, we now know that they didn't. When you said they had to win, what did you mean?
It was a must-win when we talked on Friday. It was a must-win when I watched it on Saturday. It was a must win when Sunday came and gone. It's still a must win on Monday. I still feel that way in my heart of hearts that the Ohio State University had to win that game. And like I say, the ending didn't come out like all of our wishes and dreams and hopes. So sometimes you got to go back to the drawing board. Now, like you said, you mentioned Turkey, and you've been talking Turkey for a year since the last time that we lost two in a row. You talk Turkey all year long. Will this be a Turkey year? and it came out, it was gobble, gobble, turkey year, three in a row. And like you had mentioned, it hadn't happened since the 90s. Here we are well into the 2000s. Man, it doesn't feel good at all, Scott Spears.
No, and clearly something's going on there. And I look at Maurice Claret because clearly, as I said, and we have both said, he's been a supporter of Ryan Day, and people do look to the coach at this point. They certainly in the 90s looked at John Cooper at that particular time when three games were lost, the last time three games were lost to Michigan. The first part of his quote on X at the end of that game, Ryan Day, love you, bro, but gotta go. Do you echo those sentiments at this point?
I don't know what that means. You know what I'm saying? He's a lot younger person than me, you know, and I don't know how to read into that. Decipher, I'll have to talk to him myself because I know him personally. And so certainly I'd like to see what we were going through. And then let me tell you something. You're down to the raw nerves at the end of a game. That's why they don't let... You're a member of the media and the press. They don't let press in right after the game. They let you have a grace period, you know, 20, 30 minutes before you, you know, talk to a reporter. But now your reporter's in your pocket. You can report any time or any way that you feel. So, hey, there's a lot of people that had mixed emotions on the outcome of that game.
Absolutely, and I think Maurice Claret followed up in that X quote by saying, you know, this is why you're paid millions, can't get paid 9 M's and lose 3 straight. Do you think at this point Ryan Day might have to go? Yeah, it certainly ended up that way for John Cooper in the 90s.
Coach Day is one of the best college football percentage winning coaches in college football. I think if Coach Day needs to stay here, I want him here. Because I'll tell you what happened. Nebraska fired Bo Pelini some 20 years ago, and they haven't won 7 games in a season since. Bo Pelini was always 10-3. You know, there's several instances of people leaving off of what they had at home, and man, it always turns out bad. You are only one head higher away from being a mediocre team. And certainly, I like 11-1 versus 7-5.
You know what is also interesting, Buckeye guy? We've got about 4 minutes left here. But okay. Ohio State, and this is in Sports Illustrated this morning, Ohio State is really getting, the headline is Ohio State gets roasted for pregame antics. Following a third consecutive loss to the Michigan Wolverines on Saturday, the Buckeyes are taking heat for their pregame antics in Ann Arbor. And basically it shows a video, really, is what they have here, from X, in which the Buckeyes players were shooting hoops. They were together on the field. And it was seen as a sign of the Buckeyes not taking this game seriously. Did you see this going on, or do you have any thoughts on this?
I have not seen it with my own eyes. I'll take your word for it. And I can tell you what I've seen. I can speak for me and me alone. When, in fact, I was at the game, I was there. I got in my seat by, it was almost an hour pregame. And every Ohio State player that I've seen was uniformed up, outrunning their play. And what they've done before that, I can't speak on because I didn't see it. Listen, Scott, here it is. You're talking to somebody that has a bird's eye view. I can't speak on Maurice Claret. I can't speak on, Sports Illustrated because I was there. I'm always there. So for asking me about somebody else, forget about it. Ask me what the hell the Buckeye guy sees. We went out there, we played our best, and we came up short.
And I guess the end result of this, with a minute and a half left to go here, what is the story on this game going to be? Because it was the third loss to Michigan, but it also came after so much fol-de-rol about this sign-stealing scandal. That's why they've been beating us. That was out there in the media. Their coach wasn't even at the stadium. Harbaugh wasn't there. And yet, the Buckeyes came up short again. So what is the story from somebody who was there, out of your own mouth? What is the story on the game in 2023?
Man, certainly wanted a other outcome that actually happened. Did not get in the win column for the third year in a row, which, as you've been referring to, as a turkey. Oh, man. And that, listen, you got to carry that for a whole year, buddy, or even further, unless you change the narrative. I parked there at 20 yards from the stadium. I park in a guy that lives in Ann Arbor's front yard every time. And I've been doing it for 10 years. You know what? He's always the same guy to me, and I'm always the same guy to them. We've got to do something about the outcome of this game. Because, as you know,
you're listening.
The Ohio State University, we reeled off 8 in a row. Urban Meyer was 7-0, buddy. Never lost a game. I'm talking to Urban Meyer like it's nobody's business. 10 feet from me. Boom. Hey, coach, how you doing? Buckeye guy, we're going to go out here and get one today. Absolutely. So that's the type of attitude that you need going into a huge, humongous game like this.
Postseason, where does Ohio State go?
Recruitment. You need guys coming to Columbus. You need a bunch of them. Brian Hartline's one heck of a recruiter. We've got one of the best players in the country in Marvin Harrison Jr. He wore number 18. I knew that for a fact because I'm watching. Don't know that the coaches and quarterback and other players, listen, I believe he was supposed to be targeted twice as much as he was. I thought. But here again, I'm a fan. I'm sitting in the stands. I'm not on the sidelines calling a play. Hey, he's a transcendental talent. He caught a touchdown. He ran for some stuff. He does some great things. Man, we needed more. We scored a lot of points, but we needed more. We still need more.
And I think that's the way a lot of people feel. Do you think there's any possibility for any kind of bowl game at this point?
Oh, absolutely. All you have to do to be bowl eligible is win 6 games. I think you're talking about the college football playoff. The college football playoff's only allowing 4 people in. We don't know how far Ohio State will fall because we lost to the number one team in the country by the time Tuesday at 7 o'clock comes around on ESPN. Who's to say where we end up? I mean, because, hey, Georgia didn't play anybody. Georgia played Marion Harding High School on Saturday. The Ohio State University played the third best team in the world. So I think that the University of the Wolverine will probably be the number one team come Tuesday at 7. So if we lost to the number one team, I don't know that we should fall that far at all.
It's going to be interesting to see how it all falls out, and I can't thank you enough for calling in this morning, Buckeye Guy. I know not a happy day for Buckeye fans around the country, but, you know, where we go from here, I think, will be how the story is told. Because, yeah, we have talked about this turkey, and it did happen. But now, yes. How do you get rid of the turkey at this particular point?
Mix in a little cranberry sauce, my friend. We need some cranberry sauce in our lives right now. We need some comfort food. As you know, I certainly love to partake in that. But it's always O-H-I-O. Go Bucks, folks. Let's go, Buck.
Hey, thank you, Buckeye Guy.
Thank you.
The legendary Buckeye Guy. Well, there you go. A bird's eye view from Saturday's game. All right, we will be back right after this.
It's the place for holiday fun. For legendary actor, best known.